Once again, it's good to see everyone again this evening. I'd like to pick up where we left off this morning. We were studying in 1 Peter chapter 3, and in particular in regards to verse 10, he that would love life and see good days. And we noticed the verses 1 through 8 prior to that, and saw how that our relationship with our spouse and with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ very much contributes to that. We talked this morning about how that indeed wives are to be submissive to their own husbands and to honor them, and husbands likewise are to dwell with them with understanding. And we turned to Ephesians chapter 5 and saw how that Paul there said that husbands are to love their wives, which is really what Peter is saying here too in verse 7. And then we are all to be of one mind, be in unity. We're to treat each other with compassion, with love for one another, and being tender-hearted and courteous and all of those things. Then we also went to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and reminded ourselves of what love is. And how that love is indeed, it suffers long, it's kind, does not envy, it does not parade itself, it's not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not easily provoked, does not think evil, but rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Indeed, love never fails. Now, you'll notice here that as we come back to verse 10, that it begins with this word for. For he that would love life and see good days. Indeed, these previous verses, these previous nine verses are connected to what he has said here in verse 10. And so we'd like to continue with that thought this evening and notice how that what from verse 10 through verse 11 very much are complementary to verses 1 through 9. He who would love life and see good days. This is a genuine appreciation for life. Do you appreciate being alive? Do you desire to love life and to see good days? I think a lot of people just kind of haphazardly go through life trying, hoping that they're going to stumble into an appreciation for living and a good life. But this is not an empty, haphazard search for happiness. This is a verified sense of direction and purpose. He who would love life and see good days. You know, this isn't something you're going to stumble into. This is something you have to set your mind on. That if you're going to love life and see good days, there's a definite way to do that. And that's what he is describing for us here. In James chapter 1 and verse 8, James says very plainly, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We can't just, you know, be spiritually minded at one point in the day and then be carnally minded at another point in the day. We need to set our mind on what direction we're going to serve and stay the course. Likewise, in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus' desire for us is that we have an abundant life, that we see good days, and that we love life, that we appreciate this abundant life and come to realize it. We must set our minds on it. And that's what Peter is talking about in this passage. Notice the first thing that he says here is he says, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Well, that's very similar to what we've noticed in the first nine verses, isn't it? It's similar to what we noticed from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This morning we went back to Ephesians, how that Peter and Paul are very like-minded here in presenting these things. Notice here also, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for and necessary for edification, that it might impart grace or favor unto the hearers. We're not to be chastising one another or putting each other down, but we're to be seeking the building up of one another in our words. If we're going to love life and see good days, we need to refrain our tongue from evil. Chapter 4 and verse 31 of Ephesians says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Wives, husbands, in your relationship with one another, as a spouse to one another, as you honor your husband, as you love your wife, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. How much of that? All. Let it all be put away from you. That shouldn't be in your conversations with one another as husband and wife. Ephesians 5 and verses 11 through 12, it says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Have no fellowship. Don't speak of them. Don't even speak of them. And Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. "Now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil." Don't speak disparagingly with one another as husband and wife. Don't speak disparagingly with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. All of these things are very complimentary to what he has to say to us in the first 9 verses of 1 Peter chapter 3. "He that would love life and see good days, let him keep his lips from speaking deceit." In 1 Peter 3 and verse 9, we noticed here the verse prior to this, it says, "Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." We are not to speak deceit disparagingly towards one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, but rather we are to speak in a way that would be blessed and edifying to one another. Again, we come back to Ephesians 4 and verse 29. "Let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace or favor to the hearers." And Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace or favor, seasoned with salt," a preservative, something that is pleasant to the taste, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his lips from speaking deceit. Let him also turn away from evil, he says in verse 11. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 21 through 22, we're told to test all things. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. How much participation in any form of evil can you participate in if you're abstaining from every form of evil? None. We're to stay away from it completely. And so, you know, sometimes we can't help some of the thoughts that cross through our mind, and we might be tempted to participate in that which is evil. But we can determine how far we go in considering that evil. We are, and we know that we're to abstain from it, so abstain from it. Don't do it. Say no to it and look for that which is right. Do you want to love life and see good days or not? If you don't want to pursue good days and love life, go ahead and participate in the things of evil. Go ahead and do that which is evil. And see how good you feel about yourself afterwards. Have you ever noticed that? Now, when you participate in evil, when you give in to the temptation, you participate in that which is evil, how do you feel about that afterwards? Have you just participated in that which contributes to the good life and good days? Or do you regret the fact that you didn't practice self-control and allow the Word of God to guide you through that temptation? Yeah, I would hope the latter's the case. But if we would just, if we are truly in pursuit of loving life and seeing good days, we will do what the Word of God tells us to do. Stop. Abstain. Don't go there. Change what you're thinking about. Change the things that you're thinking upon. Turn away from evil. Don't mistreat one another as husband and wife. We're not in competition with each other. You know, so many times I find, well, I say so many times, maybe it's not that many times, but it's not unusual to find a husband and wife acting as if they're in competition with each other. You know, something goes wrong and it feels that, you know, generally the human nature is, well, you need to blame someone. Well, it's your fault that that happened. No, it's not my fault. It's your, and maybe it is my fault that it happened. Okay, but then you feel like, well, the next time she does something wrong, I want to make sure she knows that it's her problem. She caused it to happen. Well, that doesn't participate to any grace. That didn't participate to any favor. That doesn't build each other up. It doesn't show honor or love towards one another. Abstain from what is evil. Turn away from it. Always do that which is good and which is edifying. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 3 through 11, you kind of expand upon this point of turning away from evil. It says, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. Let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. You love life and see good days? Coarse jesting isn't part of that. Coarse jesting is competition. It's for the sake of putting somebody else down to maybe make yourself look bigger. I don't know. But you won't find the love of life and good days in the participation of coarse jesting or foolish talking. Participate in those things for which you can be thankful and let others know that you're thankful for them. For this you know, no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. We've been studying from Ezekiel here lately, and we noticed, not this morning, but Wednesday night, we noticed how that Ezekiel was told to confront those who have set up their idols in their heart and put them before their face, remember? And we talked about the fact how that, you know, that's not necessary, even though in Ezekiel's day and time, those people were guilty of actually making images and setting them up, but we don't have to make an image and set it up for there to be an idol before our face. Those things that we covet and we put before God and the, especially the sins that we pursue, that we're not letting to go, willing to let go of, we set those things up as like an idol in front of us. We're saying, well, I'm going to serve God in all of this, but this here, I know God doesn't want me to do it, but I'm just going to go ahead and do that anyway. And He'll still accept me. No, He won't. I mean, if there's anything that we've learned from Ezekiel, we've learned that point, haven't we? No covetous man who is an idolater, covetousness which is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You speak empty words, words that are not full of truth, words that are not full of edification, words that are not right, and you participate in those things and you depend upon those things, those are empty words. That's building your house upon the sand. And what do you become? You become a child of disobedience, not obedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. He that would love life and see good days, let him turn away from evil. Turn away from your idols of sin. Turn away from self. Turn away from those things that are of the darkness. And walk in the light as he is in the light. He that would love life and see good days, let him do good. As we turn away from evil, we are to turn to that which is good. Not for the sake of just knowing what is good, but for the sake of doing that which is good. 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17, of course, tells us what is good. Where do you find out what is good? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, breathed of God, and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If it's a good work, we'll find it in the Scripture. And if we can't find it in the Scripture, it's not a good work. But the things that God tells us to do in the Word of God, let's be doing them. And the things that God tells us not to do, let's not be doing them. Do you realize that? That's a good work too. When you abstain from evil, that's a good work. Turn away from evil. That's a good work. Do that which is good. We know what's good. Let's do what's good and right. Do what's good and right towards our spouse. Do what's good and right towards our brother and sister in Christ. Do what's good and right towards our enemies, if you will. We were going to love life and see good days. Always do that which is good. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's what we're here for. That's why we became a Christian. To do good works and glorify Him. To walk in these things. 3 John in verse 11 says, Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but imitate what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. You love life and see good days, do that which is good. Imitate that which is good. Imitate that which God would do. Imitate that which Christ would do. Imitate that which the holy people of the Bible would do. Men and women of faith, do that which is good. And you'll love life. You'll enjoy life. You'll see good days. He that would love life and see good days, let him seek peace and pursue it. This is peace with God, peace with your neighbors, peace with yourself, peace with your spouse, with your husband, with your wife, with your children. Seek peace in your relationships with one another, and especially with God and with yourself. You know, we're not at peace with ourselves when we're participating in those things that are evil, are we? There's turmoil and trouble in our heart. I hope so. Because that godly sorrow does lead to repentance. The time that we start getting comfortable in our sin is when we need to get real uncomfortable. In Philippians 4 and verses 4 through 9 says, "Rejoice always in the Lord." Again, I say rejoice. Well, how do you do that? How do you rejoice always in the Lord? Well, be doing the things that are in the Lord. Be doing the things that are of the Lord. Be doing the things that are from the Lord. Be doing the things that God breathed and told us to do. And you always have reason to rejoice. You always have a reason to love life. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Be gentle with your husband. Be gentle with your wife. Be gentle with your children. Be gentle with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be gentle with your enemies. And you'll love life. You'll see good days. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any excellence in this, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, Paul said, it's no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. So how could he say the things that you have seen and heard and seen me exemplify in my life, do those things? Because it wasn't him. He was living for the Lord. He was doing the things the Lord would have him to do. And that's what we are all to do. Whatever things are true. Whatever things are noble. Whatever things are just and pure and lovely and are of good report. Think on these things and emphasize these things to one another, to your husband, to your wife, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, to the people that you work with, go to school with. And again, we come back to 1 Peter chapter 3. We've looked through verse 11 here, but now look at verses 12 through 17. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. You see, he that would love life and see good days, let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are on those that refrain their tongue from evil. The eyes of the Lord are on those who keep their lips from speaking deceit. The eyes of the Lord are on those who turn away from evil. The eyes of the Lord are on those who do good. The eyes of the Lord are on those who seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. But who will harm you if you become followers of that which is good? Will there be people who try to harm you? Yes. There will be people who persecute you. There will be people who cause your life to have some troubles. But even in the midst of those persecution and those troubles, you will be finding your life. You will be seeing good days even in the midst of bad days. Even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify, set apart, the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if the will of God, to suffer for doing good than to do evil. You know, life is full of evil. Regardless of which side of Christ you're on. If you're out of Christ, you're going to experience evil in your life. And you'll have no hope. You'll have no hope for having anything better. Now, you might be wanting to love life. You might be wanting to see good days. But if you're out of Christ, you're not going to realize it. If you're in Christ, there will be people who will stand against you and defame you and try to put you down, and that won't feel good at the time. But we need to be like the apostles who, when they were beaten, when they were persecuted, that they rejoiced, that they were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. Realize that when people are saying bad things about you because you're living the good life, that you're holding up the cross of Christ. It is better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Again, we come back here, and I just thought it'd be good for us to conclude our lesson tonight by looking at those first 9 verses of 1 Peter chapter 3 again. And notice how that all of these things that he said here, especially in verses 10 through 12, that they complement what he said in these first 9 verses. Now, when he talks about the fact, refrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit, that's certainly true when we talk about our relationship with our husbands and our wives and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. When he talks about the fact that we are to seek peace and pursue it, that's certainly true when we're living with our husbands and our wives and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Knowing that the Lord is looking upon the righteous and listening to their prayers, then our marriage is to be a righteous marriage and treating one another as God would have us to treat each other. And our relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ is to be a righteous relationship. So that God will be looking favorably upon us and hearing and answering our prayers. And again, we remind ourselves of the fact that this is just the way that God would have us to live. This is the way God is. It's the character of God, and it's to be our character. That we are to suffer long and be kind. Not envious of one another, not parading ourselves, not puffed up, not behaving rudely, not seeking our own, not easily provoked, not thinking evil. Rejoicing not in iniquity, but rejoicing in the truth. Bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things. And we will never fail in our pursuit of the good life and good days. We would hope tonight that if you're not a Christian, that you've been encouraged to think about where you stand before Him. If you're outside of Him, we'd encourage you to come into Him. To turn from your way, to turn to His way. To live with Him and for Him. And honor Him and glorify Him in so doing. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and you've decided tonight's the night, that you need to make that commitment. Everything's ready. In just a few minutes, you can go from someone having no hope to having every hope, a valid hope, of being with Him in eternity. That's His desire for you. We hope it's your desire tonight. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God and you find yourself in need of the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, James tells us to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation tonight in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.
I am long.